You know ID in the D in the town all day. ID in the D in the SEA. You know ID in the D in the town all day. ID in the D in the SEA.
Hello and welcome to a special edition of the Fabulous Pelton Cast. I'm Kevin Pelton, joined again today. We're thrilled to welcome back from SB Nation, Natalie Weiner, to recap the Storm Championship and the Game 3 win last night that she attended in the DMV. Natalie, how was it?
It was incredible and like totally worth the 8-hour journey that I took to get there. And I'm not being sarcastic. It really, really was. It was just like, honestly, I went there with my colleague, Matt Ellentech, who does a lot of great writing about the WNBA at SB Nation. And he was like, I really don't think anybody's going to be there because it was at this arena that's at George Mason University, which is like totally far out. It literally took us an hour to get there from DC. Yeah. And it's like, so we got there and there was so much traffic and we were like, what is this traffic for? It couldn't be for the WNBA game. Well, guess what? It was. And it was actually like a sellout crowd, which was crazy and totally unexpected, but made for a really fun atmosphere, even as the Storm clobbered the Mystics, much to the chagrin of many of the attendees. But yeah, it was like, it was just great to see. I mean, the only sad thing is, like, you wish that that contest could have come when Deladon was at full strength, you know? Like, because then it feels like a real, real win. As it is, it's like there's this little asterisk. But, like, it was still incredible to watch.
And they still give you the same size trophy.
Right, exactly.
That was one of the things I definitely was curious about, was what the atmosphere was like. Because they did say, I think, on the broadcast that it was a sellout crowd. Capacity 10,000. So, you know, a little more intimate a venue than had they been playing at their typical home arena, Capital One Arena. But it sounds like everybody was quite into it.
It was lit, definitely. Like, probably as lit, I would say, as the Children's Liberty Games that I attended at Madison right. Square Garden, which are, like, terrifying and amazing because it's just, like, a bajillion screaming children. But this was, like, almost at that level. Like, people were up, they were yelling, and, like, whenever the Mystics did good stuff, which did happen, it was just, the place exploded. It was really cool to see.
Yeah, presumably lower pitched than those kids' days.
A little bit.
I know I had a few friends who do some work for the Storm who traveled back there to watch the game as fans. Did you see any other Storm fans in the building?
I did. It was cool because they all kind of emerged at the end. You know, there was definitely like this very vocal cluster right behind the bench that I'm sure showed up on the broadcast, but they were like all dressed to the nines in Storm gear and they brought their like Storm noisemaker things, you know, and so that was cool to see. There was this one guy who was like very mysterious and he was wearing a Storm jersey and like this enormous diamond chain. And I was like, I need to know your story because like, I don't know how you wound up in Fairfax, Virginia with your Storm jersey and your many, many, thousands of dollars worth of jewelry, but like I need more info. If anybody knows this man, the man who wears a chain and a Storm jersey, like, you know, we need insights. If he's listening, maybe he listens to the podcast.
he's the listener. Yeah, okay, so one of the weird things about winning the championship on the road, which is the second time this happened for the Storm, they also won on the road in 2010 in Atlanta after winning at home the first championship in 2004, is the fact that you have this giant ceremony on the court in front of a largely hostile crowd. What was kind of the reaction to that?
I mean, it was a little bit of a weird vibe because they, like, turned off all the music, basically. The only song they played was Avicii for some reason, which is also kind of morbid, you know, when you think about it. Anyway,
yeah,
but yeah, that was the only song they played, and then they stopped playing music entirely, and they did the ceremony and stuff, but it was just kind of weird because it's like this supposedly festive atmosphere in this, like, quiet arena. But there were actually a lot of Storm fans that kind of, like, rushed the court and were down there, and a fair number of Mystics fans did stay and watch, which was kind of a cool thing, and they were, like, applauding Sue Bird and stuff, because I think, like, the UConn connections on the Storm, like, meant that they have some East Coast, you know, people who are rooting for them. I mean, Gino was there, and Chris Daly is her name, right? They were both in the house, so...
Yeah, and we're both I saw a video of the Storm's after party at a local watering hole, and both of them walk in right ahead of the team. So they definitely align themselves with the champs.
That's the party I missed. Damn, where was my invitation? I mean, granted, I was on the bus back to New York, but like, ugh. Anyway, what were you going to say?
Did you see anything, any interesting stories like post-game? Any interesting sights you saw?
There was some guy in like a head-to-toe yellow like suit. So that was something. That's not really a story. But
I think that was one of my friends who was there.
Oh, really? Oh, yes. Probably. That's awesome. That's the guy who really sticks out. But I think it was just, it was a great atmosphere, and they were all so, I don't know, it's like, how can you not love like literally every member of the Storm? And they were all just thrilled, and like, I don't know, LeBron's tweeting about it and stuff, and it's just an exciting, cool thing. And it does sort of suck that it didn't happen in Seattle, because, you know, it just is a different kind of thing, you know. And I was talking to Matt about that, and it's like, because I went to the Final Four, like the women's Final Four this year, and the crowd there was just like insane. And obviously the kind of fandom that college basketball has is different than WNBA, but like a neutral site finals would be like such a cool thing if they could count on people to travel, which I know they can't, but it is like, it's a different atmosphere.
Yeah. It'd be tough because of the short turnaround and
right.
sort of thing. You mentioned loving every member of the team. I thought what was cool last night is, look, obviously Stewie played at an MVP level. Natasha Howard had the game of her life.
I was like freaking out. The problem is like, I'm sitting in the press section, you know, even though I'm not technically like writing anything, but I can't contain myself. I mean, I'm bad at that anyway, but like Natasha Howard is just like, oh, let me grab every single rebound and also just make all these impossible shots and like drain threes casually. I don't even know. It was a lot.
Yeah, if I were Shea Serrano, I think I would have tweeted that Natasha Howard has like six arms to be grabbing so many rebounds. And it just seems like she was everywhere defensively too in this game.
Yes.
But as great as the two of them in the front court was, like, with the exception of Jewel Lloyd, who had a tough night, and we'll maybe talk about that more in a second, like so many heroes in this game. Sue Bird, obviously, a double-double, 10 points, 10 assists.
Very casual.
Pick and roll. Yeah.
Very casual.
Alicia Clark, 15 points, 9 boards. It seemed like every basket she made was like right when the Storm needed a basket.
I like just raised my hand in the air because like I worship at the altar of Alicia Clark. She's like, she's a hero. She's just like so, her whole vibe is so even keeled, but she's just there like just grabbing the ball like constantly. All these rebounds that like somebody at her height, it's confusing to see that she gets them, but she gets them, you know? Anyway.
Yeah, it's like a throwback to when she was, as they mentioned several times in the broadcast and Michelle Vopel wrote about last week, when she was like a power forward playing at mid-majors, eventually at Middle Tennessee State, and was like dominating players who were the same size or bigger than her. And she's totally changed her game. I mean, it's been amazing to see. You know, her first year with the Storm was my last year working for the team, covering them for the team website. And like, okay. I remember interviewing her after she found out she made the team, and it's like, okay, this is cool, but Svetlana Brosimova is going to be back in a few weeks. They're just going to cut her. You know, it's cool that she gets this cup of coffee in the WNBA since she hadn't played her first couple of years. And 7 seasons later, here she is playing 39 minutes. You can't take her off the court in the deciding game of the WNBA Finals. How amazing is that?
It's incredible. And it's just, I don't know, it's so happy. Like, how can you not be like just the most excited that all these amazing women have won? I don't know. It's just like, it's the best thing. Like, there's no downside, you know? It's just like all like, well, this is dope. You know, it's not like, you know, when like the Seahawks win and I'm like, oh, well, Frank Clark is an asshole and I have to like reconcile that. It's like, no, they're all just incredible. Anyway.
Unless you're a Mystics fan, maybe that's the downside.
Right. Well, that is the downside.
But as good as, and I feel bad for Mike Thiebaud, who now I think 0-3 in the finals. He's, you know, an incredible coach who just hasn't had this breakthrough. That was cool to see also for Dan Hughes. Nobody seemed to be enjoying it more than Dan Hughes, who has coached more games, I believe, than anyone in WNBA history and got finally his first championship after losing in the finals with the Stars. And the photos of him with the trophy. The video also of him walking into that after party, and just he was turned up. I think that's the only way to describe it.
The trophy photos are like just iconic. Like instantly, like somebody needs to meme them. Somebody who's better at memes than I am. They deserve meme status.
Seahawks Twitter is usually pretty good at that. So let's put someone on the case for the Dan Hughes trophy move. But saving the best story for last, as improbable as Alicia Clark's rise was, for Sammy Whitcomb, we've talked about this on the preview. We've talked about this before. But for her to spend, I think, 7 years out of the WNBA after she graduated from UW before getting a second chance at training camp and sticking with the Storm. And again, it's the same thing, like, hey, good for you. You made the roster. That's awesome. But she's not satisfied with that. Instead, for the second consecutive closeout game, she's on the court instead of Jewel Lloyd for the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Having the audacity to take repeated threes and then starting to knock them down, coming up with two steals in the fourth quarter at a period where a point where it looked like Washington might come back and win this game. Sammy Whitcomb was right there in the middle of the Storm coming up with the run they needed to seal it.
Definitely. Yeah, no, I mean, it's like definitely, I don't know. All you can say is like grit, you know, which is that terrible cliche, but it's like watching her, she's just an assassin, you know? Like, I mean, they all are, but you just see the look in your eyes and you're like, okay, I'm going to let you take this shot. Like, because no one can stop her, you know, when she puts her mind to it. And that's an awesome thing to watch. I don't know, just the level of intensity. It's like you watch it on TV and it's insane to watch, but when you're right there looking at it, it's truly just a no plays off kind of situation. Like, they are running, the pace of that game was crazy. I mean, as most of the Storm's playoffs games have been, I feel like, and they were just like sprinting up and down the court, you know, and like, no, like, the defense was relentless, I think, from both sides. Like, the Mystics gave them a decently hard time, I think, for a lot of it, but I don't know. It was crazy. I was in awe. I'm like easily awed, but I was definitely in awe.
I was in awe after game five of the Phoenix series. And then game two of this series, it was a weird fourth quarter because of the fact that neither team, it seemed like, was really playing particularly well offensively. But it was so taut and back and forth that it was incredibly nerve-wracking in its own right.
Definitely.
This is, I think, where I say something that the listener will know is difficult for me to say, which is Tristan was right about this series. It turns out that Phoenix was, in fact, the real finals, the tougher challenge.
Yeah.
And, you know, even though obviously game two was very close, game three was probably closer than the final score looked because the Storm pulled away late. Clearly, you know, the fact that Deladon was way less than 100% ultimately made it difficult for the Mystics to stay with the Storm in this series, I think.
Yeah. No, and it's like we just didn't know how much her injury, you know, like how she would be feeling. It was hard to predict, you know. She was definitely talking a big game, like, oh, no, it's fine. Like, I'm going to be great. Don't worry about it. And then in reality, obviously, as we saw, she just wasn't able to contribute in the way that she normally does. I mean, in the Dream series, looking at her numbers, like, before she got injured, it was just insane, you know? Like, she was just terrifying, you know? So if the Storm had played that version of the Mystics, I think it would have gone to at least four games, if not five.
Agreed completely. Yeah, one of the things Mike Tebow said before the series that I wrote about was, you know, it could be one of those series where Stewie and Deladon kind of neutralize each other because of the fact that they're both equally great when they're healthy. Stewie maybe a little bit greater since she was the MVP this year, but That ended up not being the case. The Storm totally dominated that matchup, and it was going to be hard then for Washington to get enough of an advantage anywhere else to kind of offset that, I think.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, and like, it just was confusing even that she wasn't taking more shots, you know, that she didn't have the ball in her hands more. It's like, she is your best player. And like, yeah, I don't think her shooting percentage was great, but she still had some of those like moments where you're like, oh, right, well, that's the player we're afraid of, you know, but she was passing the ball to other people and just didn't look like herself, you know.
Yeah, you're terrified at any moment that she's going to go off, and did end up shooting 9 of 18, 23 points in game three, which was her best game since she came back from that bone bruise, that scary-looking bone bruise, but still not enough. I'm curious, kind of, first off, from a big-picture standpoint, what do you remember? Do you remember the 2010 title? What's your memory of that?
Not even a little. And this is where I betray myself as like a total bandwagon fan, you know, because it's like I grew up in Seattle. I was aware that the Storm existed, but I was just totally like it all went over my head, mostly in the way that like 90% of Seattle sports went over my head, like because I just was not that engaged with it at that time. And in 2010, I was in college in New York, so I really didn't know what was going on. But yeah. No, so I'm excited to be on board now. Better late than never or something, right?
For sure. Yeah, and I feel like, you know, as good as that 2010 team was, and it's one of the better teams in WNBA history, and I think still clearly the best Storm team of all time, even though this year gave them a pretty good run, it did seem like there was more of a palpable buzz this year about the Storm. You saw it on social media. You saw it with Isaiah Thomas's pieces on the Players Tribune, a couple of TV stations sending camera crews back to the DC area for this game to cover the clinching game. So it was really fun to see. It felt like a moment for the WNBL season, and it felt like a moment for the Storm too. Did you get that sense?
I mean, it feels that way to me. It's hard for me to gauge because I don't have great perspective on what it was like, you know, before, but it's just exciting to see anybody talk about it. And it's like, there's certainly a lot more room for improvement in that regard, but like, it was exciting to watch. And hopefully, like, I don't know, for the Storm specifically, I was like, I don't know, I was freaking out, but I'm like, this could be the start of something like really cool. You know, Seattle doesn't have sports dynasties, you know, like at all. And the Storm are kind of the closest. They could be the closest that we have to that. Like if they win again in the next couple of years, I don't know. I mean, three championships is far and away the most of any Seattle sports franchise. So,
yeah, I mean, you know, we have a lot of failed dynasties in Seattle, I guess. Like, you know, you'd look at the Seahawks of the past decade and say, well, that should have been a dynasty, and then it didn't happen, as we've read about 15 million articles about why that didn't happen. Yeah,
because Russell Wilson is a snitch, don't you know?
I think that's a good place to kind of jump into, like, where the Storm goes from here. And, yeah, I mean, the interesting thing, I looked this up last night, the Storm isn't exceptionally young for a champion. They're about average and actually pretty similar in age to the 2010 team that dropped off pretty quickly thereafter. But, you know, I think the difference is if you look at the core of the team, it's really about Brianna Stewart, Natasha Howard, and Jewel Lloyd, who are all not yet into their primes yet in their WNBA careers. And of course, the most interesting question about the Storm going forward is going to be, you know, how long can Sue Bird keep playing at this level, and how eventually, you know, if Jordan Canada is able to kind of step in and supplant her when she does decide it's time to move on at point guard.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm like, totally team Jordan. I mean, I'm team Sue, obviously. Everyone's team Sue, but I love her. And like, it is really exciting to see like these super, you know, these players who are going to be with the Storm for a while, you know, who are great. And it's like, you know, it seems like they have a really high ceiling for the next couple of years, you know. Even I think, like, I don't know. I find it hard to believe that Sue would like totally abandon the franchise. I wonder if she would even, like, if she does decide to retire. And I don't think that she said something to that effect last night. She was like, I'm not thinking about it right now, which is fair. But like, I wonder if she would stay on in some kind of player coach role, you know, kind of like what Ichiro did with the Mariners. Like, I find it hard to believe she would like leave the team at this point, but
I feel like it's unlikely Sue would continue to wear a jersey on the bench even after she retired.
No, but you know what I mean. Like, I that she would like.
she's different than Ichiro in many ways. They are both unique figures. Now, so a lot of people asked me over the last month, like, hey, if the Storm wins the championship, do you think Sue's going to retire and go out on top? And My answer was, like, first off, look, you know, who knows what Sue is going to do. But from what I do know of Sue, having covered her over a long, long period of time, like, first off, I think she's going to keep playing until she doesn't feel like she can play effectively. And obviously that's not the case right now. She's still perhaps the best point guard in the WNBA, even though she didn't make the all the WNBA teams, and Skylar Diggins and Courtney Vandersloot did.
Shade incoming.
Yeah, I get that in there. I had her on my second team of it, even though I didn't have an official ballot. But the other aspect of it is I don't feel like she's the type to say, like, I want to go out on top is so much as I want to defend this championship.
And, yeah.
You know, the one thing that she hasn't been able to do in her career is go back to back. I think it, you know, other than the international, you know, EuroLeague side of things or Russian Super League, I don't think she's gone back to back because UConn won it her sophomore year and her senior year. And then, of course, the Storm have had these very long kind of periods in between their three championships. Right. So that'll be a different challenge, I think, that Sue will be eager to embrace.
Yeah. No, I mean, it just doesn't, she doesn't seem to be slowing down, and she doesn't seem to, she just seems too entrenched in the team, you know, like she's still right. The core of all of it, you know? And so if she retired, I think that would be a surprise to everyone, especially like just next season, considering where they're at right now.
Yeah. I mean, it'll be interesting to see kind of the other thing that we've had discussions about is like how Sue would do it. Cause she doesn't feel like the type to do a farewell tour. Feels like what Lindsay Whalen did this year, where she announced it with, like, you know, four games left in the season, enough time to let the team honor her at the end of the year, but, you know, not enough that it kind of hangs over the entire season. That kind of feels to me like how Sue might do it.
Yeah. No, I think that would make sense. But I hope, I don't know. I mean, I hope she does what she wants to do, obviously, but it's amazing to watch her play with everyone, and like she's clearly like teaching them all so much too. It's such an interesting dynamic.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, she said that they didn't have that kind of player when she started with the Storm, when she and LJ, as very young players, led the Storm to the championship in 2004. I mean, there were some veterans on that team, but not, you know, experienced champions, and certainly not players with Sue's credentials. Where, I mean, I think another discussion that's probably worth having at some point is Sue the greatest athlete in Seattle sports history at this point?
Ooh, I like that question.
I mean, nobody's won more championships, obviously. You look at the longevity of her career. I mean, you know, someone like even LJ had a much higher peak, is a three-time MVP. But for Sue to do it over such a long period of time, I think gives her a strong case in that argument.
Yeah, and to stay with the team even when she had the option to leave, and even when it would have been advantageous to her to leave, probably. You know, that's like an intangible thing and not necessarily like a sports thing. But if we're calling her like the best Seattle athlete, you know.
Right. I mean, yeah, I think playing your whole career here, you get a lot of bonus points for that, much like, you know, how Nate McMillan had his jersey retired because he was Mr. Sonic and played his whole career here, even though, you know, he wasn't
the best player.
Exactly. Yeah. So that'll be an interesting discussion to have down the road. The other thing I was curious, you know, did you have a thought from watching from afar, like when you thought the Storm could be a championship team or would be a championship team?
I mean, I'm bad at answering that question because like I'm a fan. And so I was like, I want them to win, but I always like hedge my bets. And I'm like, well, they probably won't win because I want them to win, you know, which is just like my own internal like neuroses. But no,
but it's also a learned Seattle sports thing.
Right. Right. But like, I mean, coming into the season, it didn't seem like people were totally giving them a lot of credit. You know, like people, I think in like season previews, people were like, they're going to be good, but they're not going to win, you know? Right. And I was like, looking at the pieces, like, I mean, it depended on how they gelled with Dan Hughes, you know, and how that sort of dynamic came together. Because obviously, you know, they had just had this coaching transition. But when I spoke to Jewel, like right before the season, she sounded like so happy about it. And, you know, you never really know if players are giving you the whole deal, but she was like, no, we love him. He's great. Like we hang out all the time. We're just like, we're all best friends. And, you know, she said, I want to win the championship for Sue, you know, and this was like a few weeks before the season started. So that gave me a fair amount of confidence going in, just hearing that from her. And then they just started winning and I was like, this is insane and not a thing that I'm used to, but it's awesome. And yeah, so I don't know if there was like a specific point, but I definitely, talking to Jewel before the season and hearing like how self-assured she sounded, I was like, this is a good sign.
Yeah, I was trying to think back. I thought it was funny. I don't know if you were in there when for that part of Sue's press conference, but she mentioned the opening game against Phoenix where they lost at home and we're like, uh-oh, is this going to go south again? And I remember having that same thought after that game, although it turned out, you know, they had a fourth quarter run and it came when they put Natasha Howard at center. And I feel like that was a really pivotal point in the season. You know, I remember talking to Sue at the Sloan conference back in February and about, you know, the upcoming season. And she's like, yeah, now that you have Natasha Howard, there's a lot of talk about maybe playing Stewie at the three, which was like, yeah, I don't know if that's going to work out. That's not a lot of shooting. But then it kind of worked itself out very quickly. Crystal Langhorne was injured. Natasha Howard had the chance to step into that starting center job alongside Stewie. The two of them were a great combination. Another moment that stood out, I had a chance to watch a scrimmage they had against the Chinese national team not long after we saw the U.S. women's national team play against China. And the Storm just drilled the China national team. I mean, they were like executing everything and beat them much worse than the U.S. WNT did.
Interesting.
Which,
that is a cool metric. Huh.
Yeah, I mean, it turns out that might have also raised some red flags about the national team, which... Well, you know, we'll see. Fortunately, they'll get Sue and Jewel Lloyd and Brianna Stewart now that this series is over joining. But they have not had the most impressive run up to the World Cup coming up later this month. But that was like, huh, you know, this might be onto something. And then I think the other moment is when they went into LA and beat the Sparks, the defending runners up. Defending WNBA finalists by 25 on the road.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, okay. Yeah. The Storm is on to something here. Didn't know it was necessarily going to translate into a championship, but knew it was going to be a very exciting season. And it could not possibly have ended any better. I guess one last question, maybe maybe it's last night, but what's the moment that you're going to remember from this season that's going to stand out for you?
Ooh, that's a good question. Moment from the season that I will remember. I mean, probably when Stewie hit that contested shot, like when Elena was like right over her in the fourth quarter and she hit the shot anyway and got the and one. And it was like, all right, there's the nail in the coffin. Now this is over. And we're like, we've won the championship more or less.
Yeah, that was the subject of Shea Serrano's piece today on The Ringer.
Oh, really? And I see. Before. I didn't even see that, but
yeah, you were busy on a plane. So, for me, it's got to be Game 5 against Phoenix. You know, that situation, Taurasi's 13-0 record in winner take all games, and then Sue going nuts in the fourth quarter. Like
that's what, true.
That's gonna always be one of my favorite basketball games I've ever attended, I think. And it was the championship game, as it turned out, as Tristan said.
Pretty much. Yeah, no, that's true. See, I didn't even think about that. I'm like, my brain is like half, I actually have not slept at all. So I'm like half operating, but like, yes, it was all incredible. Now I just thought about that shot that Sue made when she was like literally on the floor at the end of game two. It was in the fourth quarter and she was like falling down and she just like threw it up with one hand or whatever. And it went in. That was crazy. Anyway. We could just reminisce about amazing Sue Bird plays for like 100 hours, basically.
We could, but at some point you probably should get some sleep. So I appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule so much. Thanks for doing this. And hopefully this won't be the last time we're doing it together to celebrate a Storm championship.
Yes, next year. I'm telling you, we got to build the dynasty. Seattle needs this. Maybe they'll like shut up about the Sonics for 2 seconds, you know, and focus on the basketball team that exists there right at this very moment. And I want the Sonics to come back too. I'm going to add that caveat before a million people flame me on Twitter. But we got to appreciate greatness that's like right in front of us.
Absolutely. There is pro basketball in Seattle. We need the NBA back, but there is pro basketball here and the very best you could possibly have in the WNBA.
Exactly.
All right. On that note, thanks so much, Natalie, and thanks for listening.
Thank you.